So the goal is not to eliminate all sources of stress or to live a totally stress-free life, because first of all, let's admit that would be boring and it's impossible.
Diz Runs Radio episode 428 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Energy Bits, which are pretty much my go-to way to add a little bit more greens to my diet. If you haven't heard of Energy Bits before, which means you haven't been paying attention because we talk about them every so often, they're little tablets, little pills basically, that are made of dried algae, and they're super, super healthy, all kinds of vitamins, minerals, proteins. I hate to say that they're a superfood, because it's kind of superfood's kind of a buzzword that I don't much care for, but they are really, really good for you. And like I said, they're kind of my solution to add more greens to my diet on a regular basis. Just grab a handful every couple of days, and it just helps. It just, you know, a little bit more greens, a little more vegetables never hurt anybody. So if you want to get some, head over to the website, energybits.com, and make sure you use the code DIZRUNS, which will save you 20%. At purchase. Thanks to Energy Bits for their continued support. And now let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest today has seen and done a lot in the running world over the last 20 plus years. From competing in high school and college to writing articles for a variety of publications, to being part of the editorial team at Trail Runner Magazine, to coaching runners, to organizing and leading running retreats, clearly she's done a lot, and clearly she's a running lifer. So it is definitely my pleasure to be able to share a few easy miles today with Ms. Eleanor Fish. Thanks for joining us, Eleanor, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Denny. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is certainly mine. And guys, if you want to check out more on a lot of the things that probably that we'll talk about today, but certainly what Eleanor's got going on, head over to runwildretreats.com, and you can definitely connect with her on all of the social medias on Facebook. You can either, you know, find her name, or also head to the Facebook page for Run Wild Retreats, on Instagram @mindful_runner, on Twitter @IRunMindfully. And as per usual, we'll have all these things linked up in the show notes, so it's easy to find. This episode is dizruns.com/428. So you can head over there, and we'll have the links to contact information and blog posts and articles and anything else that makes sense to link to there. So you can kind of learn a little bit more about Eleanor, who she is, what she's got going on, and anything else that you want to find out. So Eleanor, the way we always start off the show is with a pretty simple question that sometimes has a pretty simple answer, and sometimes the answer is a little bit more complex, but it's just a fun place to start, and that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Yeah, well, I guess I probably would fall into the category of not a so simple answer, just because I don't really race anymore. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I think is what makes for an interesting story, because up until the last few years, really my whole running career was about racing. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, you know, I got my start in high school, like a lot of kids do, doing track and cross country, and just really fell in love with running and the team aspect of running in high school and college. And so that was my introduction to running culture, and loved everything about it. And so for, you know, a good 20 years, it was all about racing. And I'm very grateful for having the chance to have a lot of those experiences, because I even had the opportunity to compete overseas and represent my home country of Canada and compete in all kinds of events, you know, right up to 100 miles and that sort of thing. And so that was a lot of fun. But then, you know, I got a little bit older and entered a different phase in my life. And all of a sudden, being a competitive trail and ultra runner was really not so feasible. And What happened was in 2010, it was, you know, I was working for Trail Runner magazine. I was just really immersed in the culture and getting to talk to all these amazing trail and ultra runners, and that really inspired me to go and try and do something awesome. So I live in Colorado right now in the Colorado Rockies. And so, of course, Leadville is not too far from where I live here near Aspen. And so I thought, well, I'll sign up and I'll do Leadville 100.
Why not? Might as well. Yeah, it's right there. Not?
I'm like, it sounds awesome. And, you know, I had been there as a spectator before, and just, you know, the energy that you get when you're at an event like that it's phenomenal. And it's really an amazing and inspiring thing to witness, as anyone has been to any of these big events can tell you. So I was super inspired. And this was before Leadville really blew up. It was when you didn't have to go through a lottery. Anyone could just sign up.
Right.
So, I mean, I had enough running experience to do it. But still, so I signed up and was training for it. But what I really didn't account for at that point in my life was everything else that I had going on. And I was a new mom. You know, my son was about 1 year old. Mm-hmm. And I was working as a magazine editor and just feeling like I had a lot on my plate. And so then I throw on top of that training for 100 miler, and all of a sudden it just starts to get harder and harder, and I'm like barely able to keep up with my training. And so I had some great sort of pre Leadville races that were part of my training, my build up. You know, I did a 50K and a 50 miler, and those went pretty well. But by the time I got to the start line at Leadville, I was feeling pretty burnt out. But I was excited to be there and just grateful for it. So I went and did the race, and it was a very, let's just say it was a very long day and night and the next morning.
Day, right.
Yeah, exactly. But I finished, you know, and that was my goal. My goal was just to finish. I wasn't looking to, you know, do anything beyond that. And so I was really grateful. It took a lot of support from my family and friends who paced me to get me to the finish line. But it was a great experience, and I got to write about it for Trail Runner magazine, and that was really cool. But what happened after that was really surprising, in that for months and months afterwards, I could barely run. I was so depleted. And you know, I generally take pretty good care of myself. I like to think I know how to eat well and get lots of rest and that sort of thing. But I just wasn't bouncing back from that race at all. And the following summer, I would try and go out for just an easy trail run with some girlfriends. And granted, I live at high altitude, so even an easy run at 9,000 feet can feel pretty hard. Mm-hmm. But I would try to just go for an easy run and would just be suffering. And so that really led me to question why I was so tired all the time. And it was a really interesting experience, because that's what kind of led me down this whole path of mindfulness, and how running mindfully can really be a really different and unique experience. And it changed the whole way that I approach running and the running lifestyle now. So after 20 years of doing it one way, you know, now it's a completely different, it serves a totally different purpose in my life. Mm-hmm. It's just as important, but how I go about it is very, very different for me now. So that's why I would say that, you know, racing isn't really a big part of my life right now. And I'm really focused on other aspects of running.
And I think that's a, you know, I think maybe in whatever this is, episode 428, so however many interviews that was, probably 325, 330, something like that. I think maybe one other person has kind of had that same type of answer to that question. I'm pretty sure I've asked that question every single interview I've done. And I'm glad that was your answer, because I feel like sometimes in the running community and you know, in general, in 99% of the time, I think the running community is fantastic. But I think sometimes there is that pressure of, like, if you're not racing, you're almost not a real runner. And so it's nice to every once in a while have some folks that say, you know what, like I used to race and I really enjoyed it. And now it's just, I don't do that much anymore. And that doesn't make you any less of a runner at all. So I'm glad that we get to touch on that every once in a while. So thank you for having that be the case and just, you know, I mean, being honest about it.
Yeah. Well, I think what's really interesting is that, you know, running can be a lifestyle and, you know, for a lot of us, that is centered around, you know, running and going to races because that makes it really fun and social and it's always really rewarding to be constantly challenging yourself and seeing what you're capable next or what you can do if you train a little bit better, do something a little bit different. But there's a whole other aspect of running that can be just as rewarding in terms of evolving yourself as a runner that has more to do with the inner experience of it and has nothing to do with race times or race distances or quantity of races you do in a season and that sort of thing. And I find that can be more sustaining as a source of motivation for a lot of people than signing up for that next race. Have you ever had that feeling where you're not that motivated unless you have something to train for, or that you feel like you need to have something on the calendar in order to have a reason to stick to a training plan or to get up and go even when you're not really feeling like going?
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, there's it's a lot easier to get out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday to get your long run in when you feel like there's a purpose to it besides just, I just need to get some miles in, like when you're working towards something. Although I've gotten better with that lately, I don't have anything on the calendar right now and I'm still up early on Saturday mornings, but yeah, I can totally relate to that, having been that way in the past big time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I hear so often from runners, and I'd be curious to know if you've ever heard this or felt this way, but where if we center everything around our running around, an end goal, like training for that next race, it can start to feel like a chore, you know, all of a sudden it starts to feel like an obligation or something that you just have to get done. And a lot of people tell me that it stops being fun when it starts to feel like work. I mean, there's definitely a lot of ways, and for most of the time, I hope for most people, the process of training for a race is fun and rewarding in itself. But there are times when maybe it's not so fun, and it just feels like that thing, like, oh God, I gotta go do this because I signed up for this race, and if I don't do this run, I'm gonna be totally screwed, and I'm gonna really regret it. And then it's just it changes the experience of it. And I just got really curious about this concept of transforming the experience of running to see how it changed my level of motivation and my level of enjoyment for running. Because honestly, during that period of time where I was exhausted all the time and super tired, obviously there was very little motivation there. And it was so hard to get out the door. And I thought, oh, I just need to have more willpower. I just need to be more disciplined. I just need to be more committed. And all that got me was feelings of guilt and inadequacy and just beating myself up. Like, why are you so lazy? Why is this so hard? Like, I was really down on myself about it and getting really frustrated. And I think this happens to runners more often maybe than we'd like to admit. But what I had to learn first in order to take some steps towards kind of shifting away from that space that I was in, that really unmotivated space, was to realize that there were real sort of physiological reasons for what I was feeling, and it wasn't just in my head. That was a big aha moment for me.
Yeah, it's there's definitely many layers to ourselves and our psyches and things like that. And there's definitely, you know, obviously, as you just said, there's physiological things that can impact how we feel mentally too, and vice versa. That goes back and forth. I'm curious, when you you know, after you kind of got out of that funk, for lack of a better way of saying it, after Leadville and started to, you know, change the focus a little bit on how you were running and maybe find some joy and some relief and some, you know, the passion for running again, even though it wasn't towards, you know, geared towards getting ready for a race. Has there been, you know, in the time since then, any inkling to maybe sign up for a race, or is that ship pretty much at this point passed? And who knows, maybe it'll come back at some point in the future, but right now it's not even on your radar.
Well, I definitely don't rule it out altogether. But I have a number of things I have to take into consideration as I look to that. So yeah, I'd love to tell you and your listeners more about exactly how I got out of that funk. Mm-hmm. But where I am now with my running, you know, racing is again a possibility. It's an option to me that wasn't available for several years until I really felt healthier. And now, one, you know, the things I have to consider are not only kind of my energy level and my overall health, but I have some autoimmune illnesses that cause arthritis and inflammation in my feet. And if my stress levels get too high, then that condition flares and running becomes very painful. And so part of my mindful running practice is to really be very compassionate with myself when those flare-ups occur and work around it instead of fighting against it or pushing through those bouts of pain that flare up every once in a while, to really be flexible. And so that's something that I talk to a lot of our runners that come on our running retreats about, is this idea of, you know, it's great to have a training plan and kind of a routine or goals that you're working towards, but how to really listen to your body's feedback in the many forms in which it comes and use that information as a way to modify your running practice in a way that is keeping you healthy and keeping you on track towards your goals. So, I mean, for me, that one of those, that key biofeedback is the pain in my feet. That's a reflection of the amount of inflammation in my joints, and I have to respect that. But sometimes it could just be, it could just be more like fatigue, like muscular fatigue, or just overall low energy, or maybe a little bit of pain and achiness because I pushed it really hard one day, and it's kind of that satisfying muscle soreness that comes from working a little bit harder. So there's all these different forms in which our body is giving us feedback about how it's handling the stress that we're placing on it. And it's our job to tune in and listen to that biofeedback and not fight against it. You know, it's so fascinating to me to really be aware of the language that we use, you know, especially in the running media, so many articles and the way coaches communicate when they talk about like fighting through fatigue and you know, battling back from injury. Like, why is everything a combat? I really, you know, like to take this more mindful approach where I'm not at odds with my body and what it's trying to tell me, but using it as my guide to make smarter training decisions. And if I didn't approach my running that way, I personally, as someone with chronic inflammatory conditions, wouldn't be running at all. And, you know, I'm only 42. Like, I plan to keep running for another 30 years. Right. I'm not in this just for the short term. I'm in it for the long term. And the thing is, our bodies changed over time, and our capacity for handling different kinds of stressors changes over time dramatically. And so we can get really frustrated if we bump up against those limitations and get frustrated by what we can't do compared to when, say, we were in our 20s.
Right.
You know, so how can we find some peace and self-acceptance with where you're at right now and work with that? So, yeah, I'm not the 31-year-old who was doing you know, 100 milers, I am now a woman in her 40s with arthritis who has to take a very different approach. And so it's interesting now that that to me is just part of this journey, this getting to know myself as a runner and what role running plays in my life now and what it's teaching me about my body and my health at this point.
Yeah, and one thing that I'm curious about it, you know, you mentioned mindfulness a little bit, and obviously that's something that we'll kind of certainly continue to get into as we go and talking more about the retreats. But I've had a few folks on, and one actually just the other day, or at least as this will be released, it'll be just a couple of episodes ago, that you know, a couple other folks that are really into mindfulness and you know, whether it's mindfulness in the running, just mindfulness in general, and also how that relates to running as well. But I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like mindfulness is one of those terms that, like, it's easy to say, but a lot of people, especially kind of on the outside of it, going like, yeah, maybe, you know, like hearing about being more mindful, don't really know exactly what it means or exactly what, you know, okay, yeah, I'll be more mindful. Like what, okay, you know, kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what is your kind of definition of mindfulness as it relates to your life and to your running as well?
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you bring that up because it's funny. I was talking to a running friend of mine a few months ago who, you know, very well-known runner in his own right. And I was talking to him about mindful running and he's like, I hate mindfulness. Like, it's because he's just, you know, it's because it's such a buzzword right now. And everyone talks about doing everything mindfully. And so what does that mean? I think there's it's easy to get confused with the idea of zoning out and kind of like tuning out and just going into this empty minded space where you're not supposed to think about anything and just be completely empty or whatever. But that's definitely not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about mindful running. And the reason, so I'll give you the definition first and then kind of explain how I approach mindful running as a practice.
Perfect.
But the way I talk about it is that mindful running is the process of tuning into your body sensations and signals while you run and really noticing, being very tuned into that running experience. So how running is making you feel in that moment and very aware of how running is transforming you physically and mentally. So I think a lot of us know that if we're having a bad day or just we're like, oh, super, you know, lots of things on the mind, the mind's just spinning. If you go for a run, you come back and you're like, oh, I feel so refreshed, right?
Yep.
Like running has that way of just clearing out some of the clutter and helping your thoughts feel more organized and focused. And there's a whole series of physiological shifts that occur when we run that really facilitate that kind of thought clarity and focus. And it has to do with our breathing and the synchronization of our breath with the movement of our feet and how that kind of body synchronization just helps to kind of slow the stream of thoughts through the mind. And it just makes it a lot easier to get focused and centered. It can be really hard for people like us who are active to go and do that on a meditation cushion. I mean, I tried meditating because I knew that it would help my stress. Mm-hmm. But oh gosh, you know, I would just, you know, couldn't even last 5 minutes and right. It would just drive me crazy. Right. I think most runners feel that way. But what I noticed was that if I tried to practice some of the mindfulness techniques that I was reading about in the context of seated meditation while I was out running, then it was so much easier. I could actually get that kind of just focus and calm and gratitude that I wanted so much in my meditation practice, I could find when I was running. So I started to look at at the health benefits of mindfulness and thought, well, maybe I can tap into all these great, you know, stress reducing, inflammation reducing, anxiety reducing benefits of mindfulness while I run. And then I also get the benefit of, you know, being outside and getting exercise and, you know, because I really like to be very time efficient, you see. Mm. So I like ways of combining things and making very efficient use of my time. And so sure enough, I started kind of playing around with some of these traditional meditation techniques, specifically mindfulness-based stress reduction or MBSR, which is a specific type of technique that is, as it says, you know, designed to help reduce the effects of stress. Mm. And I found it really a lot easier to tap into that practice while I was running. And as a result, I was able to it really transformed my running experience. I mean, obviously I already loved to run. I was already enjoying it, but it just helped take off a lot of the pressure, the expectation, the need to be pushing myself harder all the time. And I just kind of like relaxed into it and was able to experience a lot more flow. Mm. And that played a big role in getting out of that funk that I was in after Leadville and finally starting to restore my health and my energy, get out of that persistent fatigued state and start to get better control of my stress, which was really at the root of it all. That was just keeping me stuck in that place of not sleeping, always being tired, you know, too exhausted to run and cranky and moody and all that stuff that comes with just having too much stress in our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of anyone who doesn't have some stress in their life. And so how we go about handling that, plays a huge role in how in our health, which is something I have to think about constantly as someone with a chronic autoimmune disease. But then also too, as a runner, you know, I want to feel my best every time I go out there. So if something feels off, I want to understand why. Like, why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. Have you ever, Danny, kind of been in a situation or have been through those periods where there is maybe something stressful going on in your life, like outside of running, but that you notice it has an impact on your running?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know that it's been a direct impact. I feel like the times, so we have a two almost 3-year-old, and when she was first born, and new parent stuff, that every new parent's been through it, where you're not sleeping very much and you know you're up all night or this, that, or the other, and just, you know, dealing with first time parent, you know, stress and fatigue and all that stuff. I don't know that during that period it I don't know that I would say that it directly impacted my running, but like just energy level, like just stress level. So it was like I was less I don't know. I didn't run as much. So then that, you know, made the stress even worse. And you know, it was maybe that snowball effect that I think part of it probably played into the outside stress impacting the running and the lack of running impacting the outside stress. And that the whole ball of wax, I think, kind of, you know, built until finally, you know, you start getting a little bit more sleep again and life kind of starts to, you find your routine and life gets back to quote unquote normal or the new normal. And then, you know, able to maybe, whether it's through running or through other means, kind of start to get rid of some of that stress and things start to work again. So I don't know if that completely answers your question, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that you touched on some really good points that I think a lot of people experience, but we don't really recognize them perhaps as a stressor, because obviously, you know, having a new baby is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have in our lives, but it's very disruptive. And one of the ways in which it's disruptive is in changing sleep patterns. And that was a huge thing for me, especially as a mom and as you experienced too, as a dad, if you get less sleep than you're used to, that is a form of stress. And it does have an impact on your ability to recover from run training. So if you had been trying to maintain the same level of running fitness, but not sleeping as much and having maybe other key parts of your recovery routine disrupted, then those have an impact. And so the goal is not to eliminate all sources of stress or to live a totally stress-free life, because first of all, let's admit that would be boring. It's impossible. But being aware of how those things are impacting us can help us make smarter training, running decisions about, you know, how we manage ourselves. So, things like modifying weekly volume, or just making a point of getting more high quality rest, like that real rest where you are truly turning off the stress response and really turning on the relaxation response, which is also a whole set of physiological changes that occur when we truly are in a relaxed state of mind. That's when healing occurs. And we need to spend a certain amount of time in that healing state as runners in order to recover properly from our running. You know, it's easy to, as runners, to not think as much about our rest and recovery. But if you have, say you've got a really like high pressure job that, that, you know, is exciting and fun, but you have to work your ass off and it's always, there's just a lot of pressure to perform at a very high level and it requires a lot of your time and energy. If you're on the go dealing with, you know, with that high pressure job on your days off from running, are you really ever getting into that relaxation mode and truly supporting the healing processes from say you ran like a 25K on the weekend, your body is in a very broken down, depleted state because you raced really hard, but then you've got this crazy, hectic, stressful week at work, and maybe you're quote unquote taking days off from running, but you're not actually giving your body a chance to truly rest and recover because you're in stress mode. The stress response is activated all day long, you know, all week long, and so that can have an impact. So a big part of mindful running is becoming aware of how all these different things impact us, how they interplay with one another, and then using that information to help us make better training decisions or alter what we're doing in order to support first and foremost our health. Because this is really what it comes down to, is we can't build fitness if we're not first healthy. And I think our pursuit of the next, you know, race, the belt buckle or the racer's medal or whatever, not to say that's the only thing that drives us, but when we get really focused on building fitness to reach a goal, it's easy to sacrifice short-term health standards that we have for ourselves in pursuit of that goal. And so I just try to give our retreat participants an opportunity to slow down and kind of look at how their training habits align with their values for their health, and just make sure, like, are you making any sacrifices here that are unsustainable in pursuit of these goals that are ultimately potentially undermining your ability to achieve that goal. Right. You know, how can we make sure that first and foremost, you're always supporting your health, number one, and health means, you know, not just whether you're sick or healthy, but also your rate of recovery, just your level of enjoyment and motivation for running and that sort of thing. And making sure that is always first, and that building fitness is second to that. So
how do you, the reason I chuckled there, you know, a minute ago when you were saying how, you know, sacrificing your health to get the run in to train for the race or whatever, is because I have several clients that I coach that are runners that, you know, that's a constant battle, a constant thing that we're fighting where it's like, you need to take, you know, like you're sick, like don't try to run today, or you're coming back off of a little minor injury that should only take a couple of days to pretty much be completely resolved, but because you don't stop running, like it continues to linger and it starts to feel a little bit better, and then you push it and you re-aggravate it, and you know that whole snowball type of situation that you know, quite frankly, like as runners, we can be, you know, we can all do that. Like I can do that sometimes myself, even though I know better as a coach and things of that nature. So you know, prefacing that or using that as a preference into the question, how do you start to get through to runners to do that? Whether it's at one of your retreats, whether it's to somebody that you know you have interaction with online, whether it's a coaching client, whatever it might be, how do you start to get through that? Like, or is it just a broken record? You just have to keep saying it until it finally clicks that, you know, sometimes we, you know, one step quote unquote back allows you to move forward as opposed to trying to keep pushing forward, which is ultimately going to make you maybe regress.
Yeah, I mean, that's you hit the nail on the head with that question. And I'm really glad that you asked that, because if there's one thing that we can all do better as runners, and I include myself in this because I'm good at really pushing myself to get more done, whether it's in running or work or whatever. And so my answer is that it's not about telling. It's not about telling someone what's good for them, because we know what we should be doing. We hear this, like you said, you say to your clients all the time, like, hey, you need more rest. You need to let this injury heal before you continue. And so we know what we should do. But we're so driven, and just so much want to, you know, want to continue down this path of fulfilling who we believe we are as runners, that we will overlook the importance of things like rest and recovery. So what I do is try not to tell people like, hey, here's how you should approach your running, but instead create these experiences, which is our international running retreats in five different countries, where we give people an opportunity to have a completely different kind of running experience. And I'll tell you, like a lot of the women who come on these retreats, they're doctors and lawyers and executives. And I mean, these are women who are used to charging pretty hard in all aspects of their lives. And you know, they're used to being about training.
Right. I was just saying, the epitome of what you said earlier about the high stress job, where even though you're not running, you're still under stress all the time.
Right. Exactly. So we put them in this retreat experience, and we get out on the trail, and we're taking our time. We're soaking up the views. We're taking photos. We're chit-chatting. Like, it's a completely different kind of running experience. And at first, I can see them just like, you know, itching to run ahead, or just like, let's get moving, let's get going. We got to get going to the destination, to the end. You know, we got to get over this mountain. And by creating this environment in which there's no place you got to be, there's no hurry to get there. It's all about just being right here and enjoying this beautiful environment that we're in, whether we're in amongst the glacier volcanoes of Iceland, or we're running along these sea cliffs along the Mediterranean Sea in Spain, or whatever it is. Let's just enjoy being here and not worry about where it is we got to go. And I find that a really powerful experience for a lot of them. And I see them as the week goes on, because we're together for 7 days on these trips, you know, I see them really, you know, kind of tense in the beginning, but then they soften and then they relax. And then they get to the end and they're like, wow, you know what? I just ran the most I've ever run in 7 days in a row, and I feel actually really great. Right. You know, they're not exhausted. They're not depleted. They're actually more energized at the end than they were at the beginning, because they took a totally different approach to the running. And, You know, and we also incorporate into that whole thing, you know, running clinics and running form clinics and workshops and that sort of thing. But the biggest element is just being out there on the trail as a group and really just having a totally different approach to running that gives them a sense of what it can be like. Mm-hmm. That you can finish 4 hours on the trail and feel great. Right. You know, you're not sore because we really took our time. We had just a totally different attitude and approach to the whole thing that left plenty of mental and physical space and energy for just enjoying it, being grateful, looking around, soaking up the views and all that kind of stuff. And so they remember that, you know, that experience stays with them. And then they go back home and the idea is that they have those kinds of running experiences as part of their running routine once they go back home.
Mm-hmm. How did the retreats come about? We've talked about them a little bit, and I want to get a little bit more into the specifics of it, but where was the idea? When did it come into fruition?
Well, you know, I've always loved talking to other people about running, especially beginner runners. And while I was at Trail Runner magazine, I really was yearning for an opportunity to actually take more women onto the trails and introduce them to the sport of trail running, because the, you know, most of the readers of the magazine were male, and I really felt like more women wanted to do this sport, but they just wanted a safe place to learn how to do it and get comfortable. Like, what skills do they need to be in the wilderness by themselves and navigate trails? Because it is very different from road running, obviously. And so I started doing women's running retreats in Colorado, where I live, and was just doing one or two a year. But through my work in the travel and tourism industry, I had this amazing network of contacts in that were running tour operators, running guiding companies around the world. And I thought, I should really do something with this. I know these great companies that are doing these amazing experiences. And so I started partnering with these companies and creating these really unique retreat itineraries that combine their certified running guides that know the area, the local culture and the trails and are there to ensure our safety with our mindful running curriculum to create these really unique travel experiences that are all about, you know, not just exploring this beautiful destination by running day to day, sometimes point to point, where we actually get to run village to village or hut to hut. It's really awesome. And then incorporate into that time for cultural experiences, wellness activities like soaking in geothermal hot springs, and then the wellness workshops so that they could really learn and really improve their skills, gain confidence. And so they learn not only about how to run trails, but all these aspects of mindful running that we've been talking about are all part of it, and it's very experiential, obviously. So it's a great way to learn these skills that you can then take home and continue to apply to their running once they get back home.
And what are the locations?
We have retreats in Costa Brava, Spain, which is in the Catalonia region of Spain. It's absolutely spectacular. And we've got that retreat coming up in September. We're going to Iceland this August. And we start in Reykjavik and go down the southern coast and do some spectacular runs in Vik. And then we go into the highlands, the center of the country, and spend 3 days running among the mountains and the glacier volcanoes in Thorsmark, which is absolutely spectacular, and then circle our way back over to Reykjavik. And we have the Moab Mindful Running Retreat that we do every fall and spring. And so we'll be going back to Moab this October and staying at a beautiful lodge there on the Colorado River and then doing these amazing desert runs all around Moab. Mm-hmm. So And oh yes, and the Swiss Alps. We have a retreat in Switzerland as well, in the Grindelwald region. So it's absolutely spectacular. You know, up in the mountains outside of Interlaken. So 7 days, kind of point to point, and we stay in these beautiful little mountain villages there. And then and then we've got some new trips in the works in places like Ireland, Canadian Rockies, and the Italian Dolomites, and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. And these are all ladies only, right?
They are. They are for now. I'm getting more and more requests for camps for couples and then include men. And so, yeah, I'm looking at that. But for now, the women only format works really well. Mm. So cause we really get to know each other pretty well on these trips. So for now, that they are just for the ladies. But what we do offer for men and women is our virtual retreats, our virtual mindful running retreats, which anyone can do from home. Mm. And it's an 8-week program where we meet online, and we go through the mindful running curriculum. And those programs are really awesome for helping runners get ready to do something like one of our retreats, or to do in conjunction with a training for a race, which a number of our clients are doing right now. They are training for a race, but they're also juggling, work and home life, and they just don't want to burn out. So we practice applying the mindful running principles and techniques to their training runs, just to make sure that they're keeping everything in balance and not getting burnt out or putting themselves at risk for injury or overtraining or anything like that.
Gotcha. And, it's just different levels, different options, which is great. So if you want to go international, you can go international. Yeah. You want to stay in the States, but still travel, you can do that. Want to do it from where you are, wherever you are in the world, you can do it that way as well. So it's all the options are there. And again, runwildretreats.com is the website. So, Eleanor, as we're getting kind of close to wrapping things up today, one of my, and I joke now almost, it almost has become a joke because I say recently I've been doing this, but recently is like 6 or 7 months now. So I haven't really been doing this recently. I've been doing this for a while. But ending the conversations with a philosophical question, or at least what I call a philosophical question. So something that's very open-ended, that's not specific necessarily to, or at least the question itself isn't specific to you. Obviously the answer is specific to you, but I have a list of a couple, 3 questions, and I just kind of randomly pick one for each person. And the answers can be, I've had 2 or 3 word answers. I've had, a few sentences, and I've had some that 10 minutes later, we're finally getting to the point of wrapping up the answer. And I say that to really impress upon you that no matter how you feel like answering this question, that's fine. It can be long, it can be short, it can be middle. All are great, but I would just be curious. We talked a lot about kind of how you've learned about yourself and how different ways of running has helped with your health and be more mindful and decrease the stress and all of those types of things. But if we could flip that just a little bit in your running experience, whether it's from back when you were in high school and college and running with the team environments, whether it was more when you were by your, I don't want to say by yourself, but running competitively and professionally and racing a lot in your own right, or now even with the retreats and with running with other women and these different places and being more mindful, what has been around runners taught you about other people, about the running community, the greater running community in general, or just, just the spirit of other runners? What have you learned about other people through your experiences with them as a runner?
Oh, that's a cool question. I like it. I think it's what comes to my mind is the idea that we all crave connection. That's all we want, is we just want to connect with other people. And running is one of the most powerful ways for like-minded people to come together. I think the reason why I love doing these retreats is that we're bringing together these women from all across the country, and they've never met each other before. I've never met them. And there's usually a pretty wide range in age, from 30 to 65, and running experience levels, running ability levels, it runs the gamut. And so there we convene in this place that's new to everyone, and we go out on the trail and we're sharing this adventure. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so rewarding in itself, is just that it's the running is the thing that brought us together, even though we're all very different. And it gives us that starting point for building sincere connection. And then through the conversations that we have over dinners and drinks at the bar afterwards, mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever it is we're doing, and at the wellness workshops, then people feel a little bit more comfortable to talk about the various aspects of their lives or their health or their running that we're there to work on or to talk about, knowing that the other people in the group can relate or at the very least empathize mm-hmm. with what they're going through. And it's amazing how much shared experience there is among these very different women from all across the country that otherwise would not have met and would not know that, hey, you know, what I'm going through is not so different from what you're going through. And I can learn a lot from your experience. And I would like to share with you what I think that I learned that might be able to help you. And there's just this exchange that occurs. And that is so healing and stress reducing in itself. Definitely connecting with other people is one of the most stress reducing activities we can possibly do. You know, mm-hmm. forget all the fancy spa treatments and yoga classes and hours of meditation. Just connecting with people can be incredibly healing in itself. And so that's another really important thing. And so for me, and I think a lot of other runners out there, just having that thing running in common is the most fun way to connect with other people and can really become the foundation for those deeper conversations that just kind of happen organically. That's how I'd answer that question, but I love that question. So thank you for asking it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I love that answer because I couldn't agree more. As we, you know, get more and more into our devices and you know, things of that nature, it's great to put that down and have that FaceTime, that actual FaceTime, not the app FaceTime, but the actual
yes.
getting together, breaking bread, having a drink, whatever it be, sharing some miles, which is my preferred method. But yeah, that connection, awesome. That community is a beautiful thing. So thank you for that, Eleanor. I think it was a beautiful answer. And again, guys, runwildretreats.com is the website. If you want to check out more about the retreats that are available, the virtual retreats and, you know, stay tuned because maybe someday we'll be able to be invited on one of these retreats as well. but again, if you're on Facebook, you want more information at Run Wild Retreats there as well. And you connect with Eleanor Fish. We'll have those links in the show notes. Mindful_runner on Instagram and at I Run Mindfully on the Twitter. Dizruns.com/428 to get to the show notes for this episode. So Eleanor, thank you again. Thank you for taking the time today. Thanks for just sharing what you're doing and really shining a light on a different side of running than maybe we hear about as often, because like I said earlier, it's always so much focused on racing, but there's a whole lot of other benefits to it as well. And I love what you're doing. I'm glad we were able to chat today and certainly looking forward to staying in touch and seeing what the future may hold. So thanks for the time today and all the best going forward.
Thanks, Denny.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Eleanor and myself. And as always, I would love to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your big takeaway from the chat today? One of the things, and there were several, and it's kind of, you know, we've been on a little bit of a mindfulness kick around here lately, which means there was, you know, some more mindfulness talk today, which was great, and some things that stood out there. But really, one of the things that most stood out to me was kind of before we got into the mindfulness, and when Eleanor was talking about how, you know, after she ran Leadville, she just kind of got in that funk, and it you know, she just didn't enjoy it, didn't enjoy the competition aspect of running anymore. I think sometimes, me personally, and I think maybe perhaps some of you guys that listen to the show regularly, tend to kind of define ourselves a little bit by our race performance, you know, if you have a bad race, like it doesn't matter necessarily if you have a bad race or not, but it's always, you know, working towards that next race and working towards that next race and what's the next thing and the new PR and the new goals. I know that's how I operate at least. And it's a nice reminder. Obviously I'm not happy that Eleanor got to the point where she was, you know, really burnt out and just kind of in a funk due to running and racing and being competitive for so many years. But it's a good reminder that, that it's okay to take a step back once in a while. That running can be something that, let's be honest, it happens to almost all of us sometimes, where we get a little bit burnt out, where we get a little bit in a funk, where running all of a sudden isn't as much fun as it used to be. And when that happens, we need to be okay with taking a step back, maybe changing our focus, maybe becoming more mindful, maybe running less for the competition's sake and more for, you know, being out in nature or being with friends or whatever, or maybe just take a step back from running altogether and not run for a while. And that's okay. You know, running's not going anywhere. Races aren't going anywhere. Running is, you know, if you need a break, if you're burnt out, if you've had enough, step back, do something else, and, you know, make it something that's fun. Life's too short to not have fun. And then if you decide you want to come back to running, you can do that. You can do that. And not that Eleanor obviously did all of that and taken a big step away, but she certainly changed her focus. You know, she wasn't having fun with the racing and that side of things anymore. So she changed her focus, and now she's having a blast and really enjoying what running brings to her now and brings to her life now. And that's the takeaway for me, is that if running becomes a burden, if/when, change your focus either to something different or to just a different aspect of running so that it becomes joyful again. Because honestly, like, if we're not having fun, you know, why are we doing it? So kind of a long and drawn out explanation for my takeaway, but that was what really stood out to me most from this episode. And I'd love to know what it was that stood out for you. Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/428, and leave a comment there. And that way other folks can see it and add to it and expand on it as well. So with that, before we put a bow on everything today, just a reminder that today's episode was brought to you by Energy Bits. So DizRuns, or use code DizRuns at EnergyBits.com to save 20% on an order. And if you get it, let me know, because I always love to hear when, and it's always nice to tell the sponsors that, hey, people are getting stuff in case, you know, they're not paying attention or whatever. And it's just nice to know on my end too that, you know, we've got sponsors that you appreciate and that you enjoy. So anyway, with that, we'll go ahead and put an official bow on this thing for today. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. As always, your continued support and, you know, interaction is always appreciated. So thank you so much for everything you do for me. And I hope that this show and, you know, the future episodes and the past episodes continues to be worth your while. So until next time, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.